We again come to you with studies in the book of Revelation, and we are in chapter 16. This chapter which has to do with the pouring out of the wrath of God. And before I follow through on that today, may I again say to those of you who love the Savior, God grant we might be like the Thessalonian believers, and I'm quoting from the last verse, or the last two verses of 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10, where we read, how you turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, even Jesus, whom he raised from the dead, who hath delivered us from the coming wrath. In the fifth chapter of the same book, verse 9, we read, God hath not appointed us unto wrath, but to obtain deliverance through our Lord Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 5, verse 9, Paul writes, much more, being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Our Lord also speaks of this down in the Gospels concerning the fact that when we accept him, he that hath the Son of God, for example, he that hath the Son of God hath life, he that hath not the Son of God shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth upon him. I'm quoting John 3:36. And one could take up these various passages. As I read this chapter, the 16th chapter, over and over again, I can't help but think two things. One, Christians, we have very little time left to bring the gospel of the grace of God to men. Remember, we are the agents of God for the communicating of his precious word of love and grace to men and women today. Then come the angels at the end of the age, and they become the agents of God for judgment. They are not given the job of communicating his grace. They are the agents for the wrath and judgments of God upon men. Let's get this thing very, very clear. If we Christians do not witness by our lives, by what we say and what we do, then the people will never hear, never hear. He limits the ministry of the grace of God to you and to me, to all his people. Now let's get back to Revelation chapter 16. We've taken up the first few of these. The first one in verse 2 was, the bowl of wrath brought a grievous sore boils upon everybody on the earth. That is, those who would worship the beast. See, what about the rest? Well, the 144,000 are sealed, are not touched by the judgments of God. Those who were believers on the earth, in the time of the beast, they were martyred, they were killed. Everyone who did not worship the beast was killed. That's chapter 13. Now, the second judgment of God was upon the sea. And here you see death and corruption. Terrible picture, trying to live on the earth where there's no cleansing power, for the sea is a cleansing power. The third one, the judgment of God upon the springs and rivers of water. They turn to blood. They have killed, they've shed the blood of God's people. Now God's going to make them drink blood. The fourth bowl, you have men scorched with fire. And the tragedy is, there is no sign of repentance. Having despised the grace of God, they're not brought to him by his judgment. In fact, they have increased hate for God. And let me say, my friend, to you today, remember, the goodness of God today should lead you to repentance. The goodness of God. But here are the judgments of God. And still, the goodness of God has not led men to repentance, and now the judgments of God do not lead them to repentance. They repented not, as you have it in verse 9, they blasphemed the God of heaven. Now we come to the fifth bowl, verse 10 and verse 11. And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the throne of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain, and they blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and they repented not of their deeds. Will you please notice in this fifth bowl, you got darkness upon the kingdom of the beast, and they are still suffering from the boils which they had in the second verse. They knew the source of judgment, but they repented not. This is the tragedy of it. Having spurned the light, now they must experience intense darkness. Can you think of a race of people who've been worshiping the beast with a mark upon their foreheads or upon their hands, 666, and they're full of boils, and then intense darkness? What can they do except suffer? And they blasphemed the God of heaven, and they repented not of their deeds. Indeed, I would say, as I read these, especially the fourth and the fifth of these balls of wrath, you find people with a growing hatred for God. Do you know, I say this very, very solemnly. I have met some of that in the last few years, where some men are becoming more and more hateful to God. They don't want to hear about Him. They don't want to hear about Him. They'd rather pull God off His throne. They'd rather worship Judas Iscariot than worship Jesus. Friend, I'm telling you very frankly, as I've said before in the preceding lessons, even some of the leaders of the world know there's something wrong, and they're afraid, terribly afraid, of what the future holds for the world. And you're here on the earth, and we're still in the day of grace, agents of the grace of God, pleading with men to accept the Savior while it is still called today. But now the hour is coming when intense darkness is going to be upon the kingdom of the beast. His kingdom is going to be full of darkness. And they gnawed their tongues for pain, and they blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pain, and repented not of their deeds. Now we come to the sixth bowl. And the sixth bowl runs from the 12th verse right on down through to the 16th verse. Allow me to read it. And the sixth angel poured out his bowl upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of demons working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to battle of that great day of God Almighty. Verse 16, and he gathered them together in a place called, in the Hebrew tongue, Armageddon. Now here you have the preparation for the last great war on earth. Here is the sixth bowl of wrath. You remember in chapter 9, it spoke there, if I might read from chapter 9, where the sixth angel blew his trumpet, and he loosed the four angels which were bound at the great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year, to slay the third part of men. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200 million. Now remember, now we find in the sixth trumpet, in the sixth bowl of wrath, you have the drying up of the Euphrates, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. Here is an army of 200 million men from the east going west. May I remind you that the Euphrates has always been, through the centuries, the dividing line between east and west. It's a long river, over 1,000 miles long. It's very, very deep. Canyons, you name it. It's a real natural barrier between armies moving. And here you have at the end time, after the church is gone and the judgments of God are poured out upon the world, God is preparing the way for the battle of Armageddon. But the first thing he does is to remove the barrier, so that this great army of 200 million might come from the east toward the land of Israel. I am reminded not too long ago where Mao of China said he could put into the field of battle 200 million men. I would judge he's the only man who can do that. He said, I've got an army I could put on the field of 200 million. Rather amazing thing that Mao should use the same number that we have here in the book of Revelation, which was written in the first century. I tell you, my friend, get into your Bible. Get into your Bible. You see, in the Battle of Armageddon, of which we have just a word about it here, when all the nations of the earth are going to be gathered around Jerusalem, you find this in the book of Joel, chapter 3. In fact, if you've got a pencil, I wish you might write down these passages. For here are the nations going to be led by the powers of hell. They're going to be deceived by lying wonders. They're going to be gathered for judgment and for destruction. Now, you find this in our Lord's words in Matthew chapter 25, toward the end of the chapter. Take the third chapter of the book of Joel. I hope you've got a pencil and are writing these down. Matthew 25, Joel, J-O-E-L, chapter 3. Zechariah, the second last book of your Old Testament, Zechariah chapter 12. And again, may I suggest Isaiah 24, and then in 2 Thessalonians chapters 1 and 2. Now let me read again from Revelation. Here you have the barrier between east and west has been removed at the pouring out of the sixth bowl of wrath. Verse 13, and I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, out of the mouth of the false prophet. You remember you had those three in the book of Revelation chapter 13. They are taking over the earth in their opposition to God. For they are the spirits of demons, working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. And he gathered them together in a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon, or Megiddo, as some have declared. Now here we have the preparation for the last great thing. And I might say, and just say this in passing, there's going to be no battle. The God is going to come and consume them with the brightness of his coming. He's going to come with the sword of his mouth. Chapter 19 of Revelation gives it to us. You remember, our Lord's going to come with the armies of heaven. There's going to be no battle. He's just going to speak the word. You have it in 2 Thessalonians chapters 1 and 2. For example, the Lord's going to come in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, whom we shall destroy with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. In chapter 2, you have the same thing. He's going to destroy them with the breath of his mouth. And the day is coming. In fact, today, as I read my newspapers and as I see conditions on the earth today, we've got a little lull right now. But I'm telling you, my friend, nations are gathering together to do one thing, to go to Israel. This is going to be the center. As we've said, you watch the Near East. Even though China is opposed to Russia, they're both opposed to Israel. Your Arab nations are opposed to Israel. Now, I'll tell you very frankly, when Antichrist comes and takes over the Western world, the willful king, he will be opposed to Israel. Israel becomes the center, the focus point of all nations. And Israel, as our Lord said in Matthew 24, and they're going to be hated of all nations. In fact, the only hope for Israel is up. All nations are going to be opposed to it. I repeat it, and the only hope they have is from heaven. And that's when the Lord's going to come down at Armageddon, and he's going to destroy these nations with the breath of his mouth. And Asian will be redeemed in one day, when the remnant of Israel that is left will say, when did you receive these wounds? And he shall say, I received them in the house of my friends. Then you've got national repentance of the nation Israel. It'll only be a remnant left, 'tis true. Two-thirds are going to be destroyed under the reign of the beast. Time of Jacob's trouble. But he's going to be saved out of it. There'll be national repentance. I mentioned that just in passing with respect to this. Now, just one further word in verse 15. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked, and they see his shame. Here you have an encouragement to the remnant on earth. An encouragement concerning his sure return. And believe me, my friend, he's going to come. When our Lord comes to the earth, he's going to come in judgment. The nations are going to come under his judgment. Israel is going to be redeemed in a moment of time. The whole nation. Isaiah 66 says, a nation shall be born in a day. Whoever heard of it? But you have the Lord keeping his remnant. And he reminds them of his return and exhorts them to watchfulness. Do you remember Mark 13, 32 to 37? Where our Lord used to say, what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch, for in an hour that ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. And the Son of Man's coming is always to the earth. Our gathering gather unto him as a church is one thing, but his coming as the Son of Man is always to the earth. This is used just in the Gospels. And he tells them to watch in an hour that you think not, the Son of Man cometh. So you have the encouragement in verse 15. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth, keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked. They see his shame. Now, starting at verse 17, we have the final word. And the seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, it is finished, or it is done. And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. And the great city, that's Jerusalem, was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. And great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. Every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great. And this is the final one. It is done. It is finished. Now you remember in John chapter 19, verse 30, on the cross, our Lord Jesus said, it is finished. What was finished? The work of the revelation of the Father to men. What was finished? The work of redemption for sinful man. And God offers a day of full, complete salvation, finished and completed by the Savior. But in this chapter, you have what finished? The judgments of God are finished. It's ended with a great earthquake that shakes up the whole world. The whole world. The cities of the world are rubble. They fall into the dust. And a great hail from heaven. The weight of each hailstone. The weight of a talent. You see, here we have in verse 18, the forerunner of doom, the earthquake, lightnings, thunders. This has been true all through Revelation. These are to remind people of a doom, of a judgment that's coming. Again, I suggest Isaiah 24, where the earth is going to be shaken and in ruin and few men left. Few men left, as our Lord could say in Matthew 24, except those days be shortened. There'd be no men left. Think of it. You say, why? Mr. Mitchell, you mean to tell me that there's going to be hailstones over a talent? Well, if I can suggest this, a talent weight would be somewhere between 100 to 150 pounds. Do you mean hailstones of that size? Why, yes. We've had that on the earth before this. This is universal, over the whole earth. And I read verse 21, and men blaspheme God. If I had the time today, I would point out the feasibility of this, of hailstones being this weight, and of what damage they can do to men, and to the things of men, and all the schemes of men, and all the works of men are going to be in the dust of the earth. And we read, it is finished. The judgments of God finished. And time now for God to start his kingdom and reign in righteousness. In the meantime, may I urge upon those of you who know not the Savior to accept him while it is still called today. And Christian, again may I urge upon you to bear testimony of his grace while it is called today.